We welcome everybody to this Sunday morning service. We're thankful for your presence. We thank God that you're here. And we pray that God would be pleased to bless us together as we worship the Lord. Do continue to lift up those in prayer who among our number stand in need. Continue to remember Sister Gladys, as she's seeing doctors yet this week and looking at things. Pray the Lord would lead and guide there. Remember Sister Sherry, who's away still in light of the death and the funeral there. Civics are traveling. Remember them as they're away. We have some young ones among us stand in need of prayer because of sickness and dealing with things and having things looked at by doctors and what have you. We want to remember these young ones and ask God to bless, be with them according to his will. I'm going to ask, let's go to Acts chapter 17. Prayer bands and classes are this evening at 5:30. Remember those and attend if at all possible. Acts chapter 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. Title of our message this morning is There Was a Bible There. There was a Bible there. We're familiar with this passage of Scripture. Paul is on his second missionary journey. He has come from Philippi in chapter 16 to Thessalonica in our text. Later in this passage, he will go to Berea. He would go to Athens, he would go to Corinth, and these cities are all familiar to us. And we find in this passage of Scripture Paul's first arrival at Thessalonica and what unfolded there upon his first visit to that place. First thing I want us to notice in our reading in relationship to Paul's coming into Thessalonica is that there was a synagogue there. There was a synagogue there. That first verse says, they came to Thessalonica where was a synagogue of the Jews. And as we read on, we find out that it was the manner of Paul, it was the custom of Paul, it was the routine, if you would, of Paul. When he went into a city, to see if they had a synagogue. And that's where he went to, seemingly, first of all, when he went through these major cities of the New Testament. And we read this concerning Thessalonica, that there was a synagogue there. There was a synagogue there. In verse number 10 of this chapter, the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. In verse 16 and 17, Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met him. Chapter 18, verse number 4. Now he's moved to Corinth. It says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. We had a lengthy chain length we were going to follow, where you find references to Paul's going into a city and there being a synagogue there. Let verse number 1 of our text suffice, and those 3 verses we just referenced suffice to establish that as Paul journeyed from place to place, city to city, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, it was his manner and custom to find a synagogue and to go there and to meet and to teach and to preach. And we find in Thessalonica that there was a synagogue there. But we read in the second part of verse number 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. He enters into Thessalonica. He goes to the synagogue of the Jews, and for 3 weeks, he reasoned with them, notice, out of the Scriptures. That tells us not only was there a synagogue at Thessalonica, but in this synagogue there was the Bible. There was the Word of God. Synagogues had their own copy of the law and the prophets and the Psalms. They worshiped on Sabbath days. But the Scriptures were read, I believe, according to my understanding, every single day. There was a time when the Scriptures were read in these synagogues. In Acts chapter 13, verse 14 and 15. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on or speak on. So in this synagogue, in this city of Thessalonica, there was the Scripture. There is what we would say the Bible to be found. The Bible at this particular time was the Old Testament books. New Testament was in process, was not yet finished or available. But the Bible was there in this place. As we go back to our text chapter, it tells us in verse number 2 and verse number 3 that not only was there a synagogue here, not only was the Bible here and Scripture here, but there was reasoning going on here. There was a synagogue which had the Word of God. The Word of God was being read. The Scriptures were present. The Old Testament books of the Bible were all there and being read. And in this setting, we find that there was reasoning going on. Paul, for 3 Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of Scripture. reasoned with them out of the Word of God, reasoned with them out of the Bible, as they had it in that particular day and time. The word reason or reasoned means he dialogued with them. He engaged in interchange of speech. He conversed with them. I kind of think there was probably a lot of Q&A going on. They were asking questions and giving answers. Paul was asking questions and giving answers. And there was a reasoning going on. There was a dialogue taking place in this setting. And in verse number 3, it says, in this reasoning that Paul was having with the Jews of that place, Paul was opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preached unto you is Christ. The word opening means explained the scriptures. He opened thoroughly. He expounded the word of God. The term alleging means he proved. He proved with evidence. He placed alongside and made evidence what was being spoken of, what was being read. So he dialogued with them, he explained the scriptures to them, and he proved the scriptures to them. And in verse number 3, we find that not only was there a synagogue, not only was there the scripture, the Bible, not only was there reasoning going on, but we see in verse number 3 that there was a point to all of this. There was a synagogue, there was the scripture, there was reasoning, and there was a point to all of this. Verse 2 says, he reasoned with them out of the scriptures, out of God's word. He opened and alleged, opened, explained, and proved the scriptures. And this was the point of Paul's preaching. The point being Christ, the Messiah of the Old Testament scriptures, the Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So that was the point. Paul went to the synagogues in these cities that he went into because he knew the Word of God was going to be there. These are primitive times. These are times when not everybody had Scripture. Not every Jew would have had the Scriptures. But the Scriptures were available in the synagogues of the Jews. And Paul specifically went into the synagogues knowing that the Word of God was going to be there. And he reasoned with them. He opened and explained. He alleged and proved that this Christ that is found in the Old Testament Scriptures had to suffer, had to die, had to be raised again. That was the point of Paul's preaching. I believe that's the point of Paul's preaching, whether he went into the synagogue or not, whether he had the scriptures before him or not. The point of Paul's preaching was that the Christ would have to come, the Christ would suffer, the Christ would die, the Christ would be raised again. That was the point. Look over to Luke 24. Luke 24. Luke 24. Verse 44. And he said unto them, the he is Jesus Christ. The time and the setting is after his resurrection. After he had suffered, after he had died, after he had risen again. He's appearing to his brethren. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. The point of Paul's going to the synagogue and looking into the Word of God, listening to what was being read that particular time, the point was that Christ, the Messiah, had to suffer, die, and raise again. The scriptures tell us about the Christ, tell us about the Messiah, tell us about his suffering, tell us about his death, tell us about his resurrection. All through the Old Testament, we can find references concerning the Messiah, concerning the Christ, concerning his coming, his dying, his burial, his resurrection. Christ used Scripture, the Old Testament, during the course of his ministry to prepare the disciples for his suffering, for his death, for his resurrection. And the point of all Paul's preaching was that the Christ, as you find him in the Old Testament, had to die, be buried, and rise again. But you notice back in our text, chapter 17, verse number 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, he proved by Scripture, he showed by Scripture, looking into the Old Testament, he laid the argument down that the Christ had to suffer, the Christ had to die, the Christ had to rise again. And he brought it to a climax in the last part of verse number 3. After opening and alleging that Christ, the Messiah, as found in the Old Testament, must needs have suffered and risen again, here's the climax of his point. And that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. See, the point of Paul's preaching, using the Old Testament scriptures, was that the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one, the sent one, the point of his preaching was the Christ had to suffer, die, and rise again. And the climax of his point is that this Jesus, who had been here before them, had been there around them, amongst them, that this Jesus was that Christ. So he's proven by the Old Testament that the Christ had to suffer, die, and rise again, and that Jesus was that Christ. And that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Chapter 18 of Acts. Chapter 18. Verse 4 and 5. Now at Corinth again. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus, this Jesus that had come, this Jesus that had given his life, that had been buried, that rose again, this Jesus was the Christ. This Jesus that I preach unto you, he is the Christ of the Old Testament, suffered, bled, and died, and was risen again. And Jesus is this Christ. He preached that Jesus was the Christ, the one identified as coming throughout the Old Testament record. In Acts chapter 2, Now, this is not the Apostle Paul. This is the preaching of the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. And as he preaches unto them about this Christ, about how this Christ had to suffer, die, and rise again, he says in verse number 36, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, let all the Jewish nation know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, God has made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ." God has made this Jesus who suffered, bled, and died, and rose again. God has made him, identified him as the Christ. We hasten back in the other direction to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Not the Apostle Paul, not the Apostle Peter. But here we read of the preaching of a man by the name of Apollos. And in verse number 28 says, "He mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, openly, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures, the Old Testament law, prophets, and Psalms." This Apollos convinced the Jews publicly. He convinced them mightily. He showed them by scripture that Jesus was the Christ. Jesus was the Christ. So in our text, we find the synagogue. In our text, we find the Bible, the Word of God. We see Paul reasoning with them, opening and alleging concerning this, coming to the point that this Christ of the Old Testament, this anointed one, this Savior, this Messiah of the Old Testament was indeed the Christ, Jesus himself. Peter preached that, Apollos preached that. That was the message of all those who preached in the New Testament. Jesus was the Christ. Jesus was the anointed one. And notice back now in chapter 17, there was a synagogue of the Jews where you would find the scriptures. There was the Bible. Paul reasoned with them from the Bible, from scripture. He opened and alleged, according to scripture, that the Christ must needs suffer, rise again from the dead, and that this Christ was Jesus. He basically preaches unto them Jesus Christ, proving by the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. He's preaching from the book. He's preaching from the Word of God. He's preaching that this Christ that is plainly laid forth in the Old Testament was Jesus Christ himself. Then notice in verse number 4. There was a synagogue. There was the scriptures. There was the Bible. There was reasoning going on. There was preaching going on. There was teaching. There was opening and alleging going on. Jesus Christ was being identified as the Messiah. Jesus Christ was being identified as the Christ. Jesus Christ, having suffered, bled, died, and rose again, is identified as the sent one, the anointed one. And as a result of that preaching, as a result of that expounding of Scripture, verse number 4 says, and some of them believed. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. There was a Bible there. As we think about Thessalonica, we need to remember there was a Bible there. And it was read there, the Old Testament. And Paul took the Old Testament, took those scriptures, and showed to them that the Christ of the Old Testament had to suffer, die, and rise again, and that the Christ of the Old Testament was Jesus of the New Testament, was Jesus the one who came. And as he opened and alleged and expounded and reasoned concerning the coming of Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ was, some of them believed. Some of them believed. Not all of them, but some of them believed. We find that passage of Scripture or that thought in verse number 12. Therefore, as he went to Berea, many of them believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. In verse 32, now in Athens, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. But don't miss the point of verse 34. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed. Same thing we see in verse 4. Same thing we see in verse number 2. Jesus Christ was lifted up as the Christ. Jesus was lifted up as the Messiah. Jesus was lifted up as the one that the Old Testament told us about would come, would suffer, would bleed, would die, would rise again. He is lifted up. And when Jesus Christ was lifted up, many believed. Many willingly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the pattern throughout the travels of the Apostle Paul. He preached Christ. He called men to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And some believed. Even in chapter 18, as he finds himself in Corinth, he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. As we come to this portion of Scripture dealing with Paul's going into Thessalonica, there was a Bible there. And Paul went to where that Bible was. Paul went to where the Word of God was. And he reasoned, and he opened, and he alleged. He made the point that the Christ that's found in the Old Testament was Jesus who had come in the New Testament. Jesus who had come in the day and age in which all these people were living, and they were witnesses. And the point is this. The point is this. We as a people, we as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we preach Christ. We preach that Jesus was the Christ. We preach that the Christ of the Old Testament that was promised, the Christ of the Old Testament that came, the Christ of the Old Testament that suffered, bled, and died, and rose again, we preach that the Christ of the Old Testament was Jesus himself. And that's all we do is preach Jesus Christ. We don't make people believe. We don't force people to believe. We don't pressure people to believe. We preach Christ. And as we preach Christ, some are going to believe. Some are going to believe. And it's important that people know this about Faith Baptist Church. We're not about coercion. We're not about pressuring. We're not about forcing. We're not about talking people into things. We're about being a people of the book. We're about preaching that Christ was fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ. And we preach Christ, then we wait upon God to do His work. We wait upon God to make it effectual. We wait upon God to save according to His will. We had a young lady make a profession of faith last Sunday evening. And nothing going on in her life, nothing that's not going to go on in her life, changes the fact that she was saved among us last Sunday evening. She made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. She had heard about Christ for many months, but no pressure, no intimidation was placed. She heard about Jesus Christ for many months attending services here, and the Lord made it effectual and saved her soul. And we're still just as happy, and we're still just excited this morning as we were last Sunday evening when Sister Alyssa came and told us the good news. Nothing going on in her life or nothing that's not going to go on in her life changes the fact that we love her now. She's one of us. She's made her profession of faith publicly known. And we hope and pray that everybody knows and everybody understands that our mission as a church is the same as Paul's. We strive to be a people of the book. We strive to be a people that preach Jesus was the promised Messiah. Jesus was the Christ identified in the Old Testament. And we try to patiently wait upon the Lord to save as He has others among us. And we hope and pray others will be saved. But that's what we are. We're a people of the book. We talked about this Wednesday night, and it was brought up in Sunday school. God said there would be a famine. Famine, not of food or thirst or drink, but a famine of hearing. And in this day where there is a famine of hearing, where there's a famine of people not only hearing the word preached, but there's a famine because many refuse to believe what is preached. In this day and time when there is a great famine of hearing, the Lord has still provided a place where His Word is found. He still provided a place where His Word is preached. He still provided a place where God's Word is proclaimed. And there's no famine of being able to hear in and around one of the Lord's true churches. We're a people of the book. We believe and our confidence is in the book. The book tells us that the Christ was promised and He would have to suffer, bleed, and die and rise again. We preach that the book tells us that Christ is Jesus. He's come. And we declare unto everyone here, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's our message. And we hope and pray God in time, in His time, will save each one that is here today that is lost. We pray that even this day we'll see someone come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But that's as far as we go as a church. We preach Christ. We preach the Word of God. We're a people of the book. And after we preach, we pray and we wait. We seek the Lord to save the lost which are among us. And that needs to be very clearly understood before us. I thought about the pulpit up here. Maybe you never even noticed that on the front of the pulpit, there's an open book. You know what that book is? That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. It stands in the front of this pulpit as a symbol that this pulpit will be a place where the book is always preached. Where there may be a famine in the land of hearing, there won't be a famine of the Word of God being preached. There won't be a famine where there won't be the gospel availed or the gospel presented and folks won't be able to hear. It'll be heard. It'll be preached. Question is, will you hear? Will you hear? There won't be a famine of the truth being preached as long as God is with us. And God blesses us and God gives us grace. Faith Baptist Church is a people of the book, God's book, God's word. And the book's message is that the Christ of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. And we preach Christ and Him crucified, buried, and risen again. And we hope and pray many will believe. Many will believe even amongst us in this assembly today. I hope the point I'm trying to make will be gotten across. When somebody makes a profession of faith and they unite with this church, they do so voluntarily. They do so willingly. They do so under the work of the Holy Spirit. They do so under the work of Almighty God. And we do not pressure or try to coerce or convince anybody to do anything. You have to want to be a member. You have to want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Last thing we want to do is make somebody a member or make somebody a disciple who doesn't want to be one. It's not our job. We preach Christ. Let's stand together.